Back pain and stiffness made mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.
Summer is almost here, and you can now get almost anything you need delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? You can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get chicken parmesan delivered. Sunshine? No. Some wine? Yes. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. See app for details.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
More than 66,000 children were taught in overcrowded classrooms last year, with 2,750 students taught in classes of 35 pupils or more. An analysis by the Irish Independent has revealed that just 17% of 500,000 primary school pupils were in classes below the EU average of 20 per class. Average Irish class size is still the highest in the EU, despite falling to 22.8, which is the lowest level this century. For more on this, I'm joined by Stella O'Malley, psychotherapist and author of Fragile, and Karen Jordan, principal of St. Catherine's National School in Dublin. Stella, if I could start with you, I assume this is one of those things where it can have a disproportionate impact depending on the type of pupil mix that a school has, and also depending on the pupils themselves, because the ones who require the least attention and might be the most academically gifted are, I assume, the ones likely to be least impacted.
Not necessarily, but I hear you. Certainly very kind of strong academic children can thrive sometimes when they're left to their own devices. However, some highly academic children can become bold and disruptive, if you follow me, because they're bored when they're being kind of left to their own devices. So it depends on the child. But on top of that, it's the two extremities that tend to get tended to. So the children who are very strong academically and the children who aren't strong at all academically, they might get noticed and get the attention they need. It's the middle ground, and especially the kind of children who aren't doing very well, but they're quiet and they don't disrupt and they keep their head down. They can really get missed in the larger classes. And, you know, I was just thinking myself about, you know, when you're missed in a class, It can follow you for so long. If you don't understand long division and it's a big class and everybody rolls on and everybody else gets it, you can spend the entire year thinking, I don't really get this. I'm clinging on by my fingernails. I'm not really sure what's going on. I know there's a few steps I've missed, and I'm not the type of child who puts her hand up and gets that attention. They're the kids who get missed, and it can really, really have a long shadow on a child's education.
And I assume that long shadow can impact as well in terms of missed potential, because in one way it's the teacher may not be able to find that a pupil is struggling, but on the other, in a very large class, it is extremely difficult for a teacher to find the things that each individual student is good at and foster them and get them to blossom.
Yeah, it is really hard, and almost too hard, you could say. For, like you said at the beginning, you said with certain children, you could, like in certain classroom groups, it could be fine because it wouldn't be a high needs group. But with another group, it could be hard. You know what I mean? So it depends on the actual group of children. But yeah, it really, really does require too much effort, I would argue, from the teacher's sake, when you just can't do it. It's like an unsolvable problem. If there's 32 children in the group and some of them are very high needs, how you can actually attend to everybody, I don't think it's possible in some groups, and therefore people get lost. And it's, like I say, the lower half of the middle, that little group in the middle who are kind of just a bit weak and aren't very disruptive. They're kind of hanging on. And what happens is they feel inadequate, they feel they can't keep up, they feel they might be stupid, they feel there's something wrong with them. It really goes in on your bones. They decide they're bad at maths because they didn't understand that long division thing just because they didn't get it the first few days. And it just goes on and on. It can really influence your entire kind of concept of yourself gets shaped during those primary school years especially. And by the time you're in secondary, you kind of, you've decided what you're good at and decided what you're not good at, rather than my class size was too big and I didn't get enough help when I needed it during that crucial point in Irish or maths or whenever it was.
I mentioned earlier on, we're joined as well by Karen Jordan, principal of St. Catherine's National School in Dublin. Karen, give us a sense of the picture in your own school. Would you have many classes above the EU average of 20 per class?
Good morning, Anton. Yeah, this is the first year actually that St. Catherine's haven't had classes over 30. In the past, we've had classes up to 34 and 32. Last year's sixth class were 31, with quite a cohort of additional needs students. What we're finding most troublesome in St. Catherine's is the substandard accommodation that we have. We have a classroom that measures only 36 square metres, which I'm told is about the size of a studio apartment. And into that, I have to fit 23 students and their teacher. So our largest classroom here in St. Catherine's is 65 square metres. And for those just in the know, a new build classroom measures 80 square metres. So absolutely all of our classrooms are substandard.
What's that like for the teacher in terms of trying to keep order in the class and in terms of getting the best out of the children and for the children?
It's really unfortunate for both staff and students. You have students who are squashed in. Teachers can't circulate around those classes. I was just talking to one teacher there now, and if there's a child sitting in the corner, the child is waved at. The teacher can't get into that corner to help that child. We can't do movement breaks. We try to use outside as often as we possibly can, but our prefabs are taking over our yard space. Hands-on lessons, which, you know, the curriculum is looking for us to do, which our teachers do to the very, very best of their ability, are really, really tricky in undersized classrooms. You're trying to get to students with additional needs. I have classes that would have two SNAs and SET. And for, you know, we might have classrooms might have three adults in it at one time and everybody's tripping over each other. Station teaching is difficult. And just the well-being and of all concerned is just really, really tough.
It's one of the things whenever the hybrid working shift gets talked about, one of the implications for employers is the health and safety obligations on them to make sure that the person at home has enough natural light, has the right seating and all the rest of it. The kind of situation that you describe, if that was adults in a workplace, you would expect lawsuits.
Absolutely. I mean, this up until now, due to COVID, we were trying to give toilet space and enough space, social distancing space to the students. And it resulted in 19 members of staff using one disabled bathroom. Now, I'm sure that's breaking some kind of law, but that's what the staff have been contending with here in St. Catherine's. We have a staff room, but we don't all fit into it.
And in terms of structuring lesson plans, what do you have to do differently if you're dealing either with that kind of class size or with that kind of physical crowding?
There's a lot of timetable juggling with the hall. We try and use the outdoor space as much as possible. We have a fantastic parents association, and with fundraising, we have been able to put a canopy out. So we have picnic benches and a canopy. But it's really, really difficult. It's really embarrassing as well as a principal having to introduce a new teacher to our shoebox classroom, is what it's known as, and apologise for the size of the room that they're going to have to work in for the next year or more. We have to keep at least one of our classes below the average size so that they actually fit into the room. The fire cert for that room is actually 22 students. We've even gone over that.
You mentioned students with additional needs. What's the impact on them?
Sensory overload. And then we don't have a sensory space for them to go to. We bring them outside, we bring them to the hall, or we bring the rest of the class out of the class and leave the child with their SNA in the classroom.
Stella O'Malley, can I go back to that issue of the comparison with the standards required for adults in a workplace? Presumably you couldn't ask any adult to operate in a situation where they're meant to remain essentially silent in an overcrowded room for hours on end.
No, you wouldn't ask for it. And you know what would happen? Their mental health would be impacted. And we can imagine, because I've certainly, as a psychotherapist, I've worked with so many, not only teachers, but principals, who are just finding that they're, as was just very eloquently described there, that their working conditions are too stressful for to feel that you can kind of carry out a good job and think that was a good day's work, because there's too many kind of negative kind of pushes on the working day. And that's not only for the teachers, that's for the students too. I don't know if you remember, but I certainly do remember being in a stuffy classroom where there wasn't enough space and feeling like an animal in the zoo that you just want to break out. You get physically tense when you're in a room with too many people, and especially if there's some of them who are high needs and they need more physical room. Then everybody is feeling kind of constrained and everybody's feeling tetchy and cranky. There's tears and everything is kind of derailing regularly when you're put into a space that's too confined.
You mentioned earlier on that the quiet children getting overlooked. A text to say, I was that child, really quiet, but struggling. Teachers loved me because I was quiet. Recently, I said, I feel sorry for the quiet children in the class. And the teacher said, oh, no, they are the best kids to have. No extra work for me in the classroom. It can be very sad for them. Another, will we ever see all the European comparisons on the same page? Biggest class sizes, longest holidays, teachers' pay, uniform costs, etc. Well, on that one, Karen Jordan, as a principal, is there an ideal number that you would like to see? When you talk to your teachers, when you look at your own time in the classroom, what's a manageable amount of primary school children to have in the one room?
That's so difficult, Anton, because we've had so many oversized classes. I have to welcome the reduction of the teacher ratio this year to 1 to 24, but it still is extremely high, especially with so many just different needs to have to look after in that class and support. I would welcome a further reduction, but I would also welcome assistance from the Department of Education for substandard schools similar to ourselves. We're not the only school in the country having to turn cupboards into SET spaces and sensory spaces. The department themselves need to look at the infrastructure of the schools that they, you know, manage.
Is that literally what you've had to do? Sensory spaces in cupboards?
We don't have a sensory space. We're actually using the lobby outside toilets, cubicles in the prefabs for a sensory space, and that's making do. We've used the principal's office this time. This year is the first time that the principal of this school will have an office to themselves.
And would you have much in the way of optimism that that can be rectified? Because whatever about the pupil-teacher ratio, which at least is linked to the capacity to employ people, it's very hard to see how you change bricks and mortar around.
Well, I have I've sent in as much paperwork as I possibly can at this stage to the department, and we are hoping that something will give soon. I will talk to any politician, I will talk to any newspaper or radio presenter in the hope that I can get something for my staff and my community.
Tech saying, this year I will be teaching a group of 28 first and second class children, including some with special needs and others integrating from an ASD class. The challenge of meeting their needs and liaising with the SET, SNA and ASD class teacher is absolutely huge. Then an inspector will come in and criticise us for not doing enough group work, or the media will hammer us for looking for better conditions, or parents will hammer us for not doing their job for them. Our education system is broken, and so are the spirits of many teachers. Karen, would that echo, do you think, the views of some of those in your staff room?
Absolutely, yeah. That could have come from any one of the members of staff here.
Karen Jordan, thank you very much. That is Karen Jordan, who is principal of St. Catherine's National School on Donore Avenue in Dublin. Before Karen, we were talking to Stella O'Malley, psychotherapist and author of Fragile. And Stella had mentioned that thing of the quiet children often being the ones who get overlooked when things get pressured and when you get a lot of crowding in the classroom. Text saying, I remember being in class just daydreaming all the time. Being locked up for hours behind a desk in a crowded room was awful and just crushed any creativity and individuality. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can text 53106 at a cost of 30 cent, or you can get us on Twitter at PatKennyNT.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Summer is almost here, and you can now get almost anything you need delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? You can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get chicken parmesan delivered. Sunshine? No. Some wine? Yes. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. See app for details.